So I'm really, really happy to be here with you and to be talking about this subject, the subject of confession. So this topic is based on, we've been going through the little book, Steps to Christ. And this is based on chapter 4 of Steps to Christ, which is called Confession. And our text for today is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will know God. Now, you might ask how those two are connected, but I want to ask you some questions first. How many of you want to have a pure heart? Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, another question. How many of you would love to live in a place where everyone can read your thoughts? I don't have any hands up. I don't have any proof, but I think it's very possible that that's what heaven will be like. So it's the pure heart. So, kind of segueing with that question, how many of us absolutely love those moments when we have to confess something we did wrong? Don't see. Oh, I see a hand. I see. Awesome. You just know what comes afterwards, which we will be talking about. It's awesome, because I would have to raise my hand too, in that those times of confession in my life have been so powerful and so transforming that I wouldn't trade them for the world, difficult as they are. Yeah, so what do you think? Is true heartfelt confession a prerequisite to having a pure heart? What do you think? Some hesitant nods. Yeah, can our hearts be pure while we're hiding wrongdoing? Is it possible? Yeah. Yeah. And what is it that drives us into hiding in the first place? Steve, what's that? Shame. Shame. So Adam and Eve were placed in a beautiful garden. They were able to walk and talk with God freely. They were created to be God's companions. And companions with each other. That, what I believe, was the purpose of creation, for God to walk and talk with us, to be our companions, and for us to truly walk and talk with each other, even to the point of we can read each other's thoughts and it won't be a problem, because we're not trying to hide, we're transparent. But at some point, Adam and Eve started playing hide and seek. And when the Lord found them, they started playing the blame game. So a few weeks ago, I asked the Sabbath school class, what does God want? And can we give Papa what he wants? Anybody remember the answer? I believe the answer is, absolutely, we can give Papa what he wants. Because what Papa wants is people who walk and talk with him. People who know his heart so well and walk so humbly with him that their hearts beat in tune with his. That's what Papa wants. In Micah 6:8, he says, I will show you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So what does it look like to walk humbly with our God? Do we find anyone in Scripture who knew how to do this? Does anyone come to mind? Jesus, the most humble. He only did what he saw his Father doing. So he had a pure heart. He could see God. Jesus is actually the prime example. Anybody else you can think of who walked and talked with God? Enoch. Enoch is one of my heroes. Since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to be like Enoch because he walked and talked with God. So, another man that comes to my mind is David. We are told that David was a man after God's own heart. Wow! David? An adulterer! And then he covered up his adultery with murder. A man after God's own heart? Really? What made the difference here? I believe we get a clue to what made the difference in Psalms 32, 1 through 5. Psalms 32, 1 through 5. I just have it here so I can read it, but if you want to look it up, you're welcome to. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. He's not trying to hide. In his spirit, there's no deceit. The person who can be so transparent, it's okay with them if their thoughts are read. There's no deceit. There's nothing to hide. And then David says, and I'm sure this was written after his sin with Bathsheba, though we aren't told. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heart of summer, as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Isn't that awesome? That made the difference for David. David was willing to confess when he did wrong, and he didn't try to cover it up, and he didn't try to place blame on anyone else. He said, I did it. And not only that, I don't have the text here, but he prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. That was one of David's main prayers. Search me, know my heart. He wanted God to read his heart. He wanted a heart that was transparent before God. So as we read in this text that I just read, confession can be a bittersweet experience, as we saw in Rick's hand going up. You went like this. Confession can be a bittersweet experience. It's really bitter when we face the horror of what we have done. But it's really sweet when the one we confess to embraces us in everlasting arms. That's what our God's like. And that's how he responds to our confessions. So in my life, I have more and more been praying a prayer that I have thought of, and many people maybe think of, as somewhat of a dangerous prayer. And I've actually, gotten into kind of the bitter times. But I pray, Lord, keep me humble. I pray that often. Because I know all too well how quickly my heart goes into pride or a sense of superiority or, and I don't even realize it when I'm going there. I think I'm still walking with God, but my thoughts are, I'm better than you are, or whatever our thoughts are. So I pray frequently, Lord, keep me humble. And I sing this song, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, my Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Sing with me. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from all my sin and set me free. And you know, when I have been willing to confess, when Papa has answered my prayer and kept me humble, that's the way he does it, you know. He points out to us things we're blind to. The times when our hearts are in pride and not humble, or the times when our hearts are trying to hide because we're afraid or because we're angry or whatever. He brings those things to our minds. So I have some stories of times when I confessed to God. One of them is a time when Randy and I were first married. We went to the Adventist church off and on for 10 years, mostly off. We did not attend the Adventist church. We attended a lot of other churches and became part of a lot of other churches. And I really feel that we were led into that, and I praise God for that experience because it has really helped me connect with Christians, other Christians in the world, and realize they're wonderful people. Some wonderful people out there. And that has been really good. But we went through a 2-year period where we didn't go to any church at all. And, you know, to be honest with you, I believe when I look back at where my heart was, that I felt a bit superior. I felt a bit superior to people who went to church even. And at some point, we felt led to go to church. We felt like the Lord was saying to us, you can't point out the problems in the church if you're not willing to take your place as intercessors and pray. And so we decided to pick a church and to just pray, to not try to connect with anyone, to just pray, to just go there and pray. And so we picked the Adventist church in the town we were living in. And we went to the Adventist church, and the very first Sabbath school lesson we went into, the teacher was teaching about contempt versus compassion. And guess what? I sat there and listened to that teacher, and tears started streaming down my face. And I said, Father, my heart is full of contempt for these people. I don't want to have contempt. How can I get rid of this contempt in my heart? What's it going to take? And I felt like Papa told me, you go to this church and you get deeply acquainted with these people. You invest in these people. That's how I will wash the contempt out of your heart. So I did that. I absolutely loved the people in the Ventura Seventh-day Adventist Church in California. Wonderful, wonderful people. If Papa hadn't spoken to my heart, if I hadn't asked him that question, how do I get rid of the contempt from my heart, that would still be there. I might not be here. Papa did that. He cleansed me. He led me through a time of confession. It takes a humble heart that's willing to be honest. And I thank Papa that he led me there. Another time, I want to just read, this time is much more recently, and I want to read an excerpt from my journal. So this is a time in my life when things were really, really stressful. And I was having to make some decisions, and I was just really afraid, really upset. And some of the decisions that I needed to make were financial ones. And so I made a decision, and I was going through some stuff that was really hard, and Papa was just talking to me. I write a journal, and what I write in my journal is what I feel like Papa is telling my heart every day. So I write down what I feel like Papa's saying to me. And so he had been saying encouraging things and supportive things and just kind of pointing out the things I had done right as I had walked with him through this difficult, difficult time. And I believe he was doing that in order to build my heart up so that I could receive this message that I got from Papa. So he said, "It is a very serious matter to not inquire of me and to not consult your husband, especially in financial matters. This is especially serious for you because you have done that repeatedly." Now, when I got that, I just started weeping because I started thinking about all of the times I have done that repeatedly, huge amounts of money that I didn't consult Randy and I didn't ask Papa. I didn't inquire of the Lord. So he said, "This is another of the blind spots that you had not repented of, even though there were financially devastating results." And it happened every time I did that. Financially devastating results. "I am with you. I will lead you through complete repentance if you are willing. You have asked me for this training. You have asked for the cloak of humility. I am teaching you to consult me rather than consulting your fears." That's some of the teaching that Papa has been willing to do in me because I've asked him to keep me humble. You know, so it's a bit of a dangerous prayer, but I encourage you to pray that prayer. So I, in the little summary in the newsletter, and some of you I have asked ahead of time, I've asked people to share their stories of confession. I encourage you to come prepared to tell your stories of times when you came to God and or to other people with heartfelt confession and how that changed your relationship with God. How did that help you to see God more clearly? So anyone who wants to share, we're going to have open mics here if we have a couple.
"I think a confession I seem to go through a lot is over time management. As we all know, there's only so much time in one day, and sometimes I get distracted, and other times I say yes to too many things. I then must apologize to God and often my friends as well when I neglect their needs. I find that when I neglect God and don't pray or read my Bible, I really give up the battle for that day. And when I promise to do a project for a friend, before actually thinking through my time wisely, I lose some respect from them. I have found from apologizing a lot that sticking to a schedule helps. Saying no sometimes helps even when it's tough to do so at first. It is better for them to be disappointed with me at first than later on being really upset when I can't deliver. But most importantly, staying connected throughout the day to God keeps me in check the most. When I'm connected, he leads to me to good and not evil."
Amen. Thank you, Sean. Beautiful.
Okay, well, I'm going back in time a little bit. This is not very recent. My girls were still just babies and toddlers then, and I had finally talked myself into just going to church regularly, and this was a big step because I was not seeing God that regularly in any way. And so it was a real change in lifestyle. I think I had the belief in God, but not the practice at all. So I really, at that point, needed to really know who God was, because so often we build this belief, but it's not a true belief in who he is or what he wants from us. So I had to, I think, first, you know, really go back to God and say, I'm sorry, I'm not living the way you want me to. And I had to commit then to that honest prayer and study and lifestyle the way he wants us to live. Because this was not important just for myself at this point. I was really beginning to see how much my life affected others. And for me, that was my children. And it really, really starts to ring the bells then when you see your kids and you want what's right for them, not just for yourself. So I had that heartfelt desire, and I had to make it happen, but it really took that daily effort at that point, and that was a change for me from the way I was living and just going about my daily way of doing everything for me and what needed to be done. So the study had to come in, and I found Bible studies and study groups, and this really helped me as well. So it was a real understanding and a realization of who God really is then for me, I think. And yeah, it was big changes for me.
Amen. Thank you, Sandy. Beautiful.
My story is with some friends and relationships, and how I was getting into a business partnership with two other guys, and I'll call them Sam and Dean. And I met Sam one day, and we talked about how this business was going and wanting to include Dean and benefit him and how to help him. And so I kind of made a promise to Dean. And then a few days went by, and I discovered that there was a separate partnership between Sam and Dean, and not including me. And so I really felt hurt by that. And then another opportunity in this business came up, and what I'd promised Dean, I felt spiteful, and I was just like, I'm going to withhold. And I withheld what I'd promised him. And of course, he found out. And with that, yeah, I totally just ruined his trust. And I broke his trust. And it's just like that with Sean's testimony. You know, when you promise yourself up front and then you can't deliver, you don't deliver, you know, it's much harder. It's much worse. The damage is so much more. And that's what happened. And, you know, I had to realize that I needed to follow Matthew 18:15, and just, I had to go in and ask for forgiveness. I sought out Dean separately and wanted to, you know, make things right and ask for forgiveness. And he did forgive me. But also Sam, and how, you know, he observed my actions and how he saw that he couldn't trust me either. And so by, you know, seeking out Sam as well and, you know, really repenting and saying how I've hurt you guys and, you know, I did wrong and I was completely dishonest. I was prideful and thinking that I was right. And, you know, I was greedy. And by doing that, you know, it was ruining the relationship. And, you know, our God is a God of restoration, and he wants us to be together and have peace. But this process of asking for forgiveness, it's not easy, to admitting our wrongs. But what comes after is that friendship is restored. And then, you know, new life can come from that. But boy, it was hard. And, you know, I just am grateful for God and his process to remind us of what is right to do.
Amen. Thank you, Mark.
So I think a lot of confession has to do with conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Would anybody agree with that?
Yeah.
So I am the worst person at conflict resolution. You can ask my husband. But I'm trying to learn. And as when we were first married, this is how I resolve conflict. I don't know if you can relate to this, but this was my way. Roger wanted to work it out. We had an issue. Could have been about, you know, what color car we're going to get or something. And we didn't agree. And so I would lock myself in the bathroom. And that was it. We're done talking about it.
Hiding.
Hiding. And so I have to say thank you to my husband because he taught me a lot about how to resolve conflict by being very persuasive in either opening that door or I would open it. And I have to say, you know, how God, he doesn't force the door open, but you know, sometimes he allows situations that that door has to be opened mm-hmm. and is forced open. And so it's become more important to me to resolve conflict because what happens is the bitterness, if you let the bitterness go on for years and years and years, it erodes a relationship. And pretty soon you're in a relationship where you don't even know the person. And somebody had told me once that to start the process, because I guess for me, I didn't know even how to start resolving conflict. I didn't know what to say. I was just quiet or I was hiding. So how do you start without starting World War III? And what the person told me was to say, I owe you an apology.
Oh.
God, I owe you an apology. Mm-hmm. Roger, I owe you an apology.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And what happens when we start the conversation that way with, I owe you an apology, the other person can't come at you. You know, I mean, it just diffuses the situation.
That's true.
It diffuses it where I feel safe than to go on because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Not just with anybody. It's not just Roger. But I'm thankful to you, Roger, for helping me to learn not only how to confess to you, but how to confess to God.
Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. So when we walk humbly and honestly with Papa, confessing specifically the sins he lays in our hearts, we are submitting to the refiner's fire. And I've heard the story of how they refine silver, that the refiner will heat it up and watch intently the silver. And when the refiner can see the silver's reflection, his reflection in the silver, that's when he knows that the silver is refined. And that's how our hearts become pure. In that moment, when we are honest with God in confession, we change the atmosphere of heaven. Do you realize that? We give God something that no one else can give him. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. He won't have that gift otherwise if we don't repent, if we don't confess. What an incredible gift it is to Papa. So as I asked in the newsletter, what will it take for our trembling hearts to come out of hiding and step into the sunshine of God's love? The more we encounter an amazing God whose goodness flows continually, the more we will trust him. As we learn to trust him, we gain the courage to be honest with him. And I believe Roger did that for Stephanie. She hid in the bathroom, but Roger taught her to trust him. Papa teaches us to trust him. So in the very last paragraph of the little book, Steps to Christ, chapter 4, these words are pinned. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary. And as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's ask God daily to give us humble hearts, to give us transparent hearts, so that our hearts will be pure and we can see God.